This episode of WDW Today is brought to you again by our good friends at Away Travel. And you heard my story just from a couple weeks ago. Or was that last week, Will?
It was 2 weeks ago, I think.
2 weeks ago, with me running through the airport looking like a crazy person, but holding very gently, caressing this very
cradling
this light, well, once it was over my head, lightweight bag that is amazing. Durable, and you can get them at awaytravel.com. Remember, they're carry-ons. They even have USB ports with enough to charge your phone a couple times. And what I've actually found really interesting is if you stay at like a hotel, sometimes you're at a hotel, you're like, I can't find the plug's like behind the desk there, and you gotta move furniture. With this, if you fully charge your bag, you can keep charging your phone on it, and you can use that instead of, you know, reaching around. So it's like an extra,
you have those
extra,
like,
bonus.
You have the weirdos that like hug the corner, you know, like sitting there, all looking at their phone, trying to be cool, but they're like touching strangers.
Airport. Yeah, that's about a hotel. Yes.
I'm talking about in the airport.
In the airport.
You don't have to be
one of those. If there's just a random stranger in a hotel room, something else is wrong.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not going to say that hasn't happened.
But your Away Travel bag will come in handy in either occasion.
Yeah, both occasions.
Mine, though, I use it every time I travel now. I am loading it up for my trip to Orlando when I leave tomorrow, and I can't wait to go because I know everything except for, you know, I'm going for a week. So obviously, I'm going to get one of their full-size bags as well. But that carry-on, they do have awesome full-size and all different options. I'm going to get one of those carry-on luggage pieces
I
have. I already have one.
Yeah, I need another one.
And I'm going to fill it up with everything I need, and I know all my essentials will be right there. So you know what? Just in case your luggage gets lost, something like that, you can get everything you need right there in your Away Travel bag. They have a proprietary lock system, which is very cool, that the TSA approved. It's great. Starts at $225. But if you use the promo code WDW20, that's right, so you go to awaytravel.com/WDW,
mm-hmm.
Then when you go to pay, you put in the code WDW20. Not only does it save you $20, it tells them you heard about it right here. So again, awaytravel.com/WDW. Use the promo code WDW20. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, March 29th, and this is episode 1557 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And my buddy Riker Seculo, my son, he's here, right? Say hi, Rike.
Hi, bye.
He's playing video games on my phone, but we're going to ask him some questions about Walt Disney World and traveling with him. And it hasn't been it hasn't been a super eventful time going into Walt Disney World news this week, except for we have some official terms when it comes to Avatar Land opening. For those who are pass holders, we all got invites to go to a 2-hour preview of Avatar Land, which should be interesting because it's not exactly like you're given all day access or guaranteed even at both rides. So I'm curious why. Why 2 hour? I mean, I understand why they give you a window to go in, but 2 hours seems like a very odd time to do. Will you be able to do both attractions? Will you not? Do you pick during the day? Do you pick during the night? I leaned towards the night, so I picked one of the ones where I go during the night. And once Riker here is off school for summer. But what do you guys think?
I don't think that you're going to be able to get both rides done. Just the fact that it's 2 hours, they didn't really say how many people were included, but it was kind of open season on getting those times.
It wasn't hard.
Right.
When they opened it up, it did eventually, I think, fill up.
It did fill up by like 2 o'clock.
Okay, but two,
still,
but still,
a lot
like
of people were trying to get those spots, and you didn't have a real problem. You're like, you took your time.
I picked the date I wanted to, like, I looked through all the dates, and I didn't notice that a lot of the nighttime ones were gone first. So I found a date that I thought I could travel to and also was available at night. So because I want to see Avatar Land at night.
Yeah, and I think that you're probably accurate in the assumption that I was inferring as well, that I don't think you're going to be able to get both done because I do think it's probably going to be busy. It's going to be a lot of pass holders there.
Right.
And you're probably going to have to wait an hour-ish to get on that one ride. Like, I feel like there's still going to be a line.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe even two. And so that entire 2-hour window is basically they're guaranteeing to some degree that you get to ride one of them. That's my thought.
They're also offering that same 2-hour window opportunity. And the last I checked, there were still availability for DVC members. And they're doing it differently than they normally do, where it's, if you're staying, it's only the DVC members currently staying. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Now, the cast preview, or the past all the previews that I have gone to in the past were definitely capacity controlled, and the lines weren't
miserable.
We did the Everest, like, you know, gazillion years ago, yeah. And that wasn't, you know, it was, you get to ride it. It was a smooth. They gave you a thing, because it was like, they gave you, I don't remember what it was. I think it was a lanyard or something. So, like, you know, it's I think they've done it before. I have a feeling you're going to be able to do both if you go in and get in line for one right away, and then, you know, save your looking around Avatar Land. It was interesting. In the small print, it said that not all areas are going to be available.
Right. So who knows?
Well, that, maybe do you think they're not going to have food up and running and things
maybe.
Like that? Like, I feel like that's may also just be a disclaimer of someone's like, man, I really wanted to go get some food.
Or,
but
hey,
it's
soft opening. Stuff right. may shut down.
That's also to cover that.
Do you think soft opening happens before pass holder preview?
Yes.
I do too. I think pass holder preview is a legit preview. To try to handle capacity and to give a perk to pass holders, I think you may see in the next few weeks, you may see definitely an opening of some form of Avatar Land.
Maybe an attraction at a time, things like that.
Yeah, I think so.
That aren't even really a soft opening of Avatar Land, but a soft opening of this ride, a soft opening
so
of this ride.
So if you guys had to pick which one you're going for, you'd go on, I'm just going to use the names that I don't know what they're actually called, the boat ride, Avatar Land boat ride, or Flight of the Banshee. Which I know is like a Harry Potter sounding thing, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that the boat ride's intriguing to me, and here's why. The Flight of the Banshee sounds like it's going to be more fun, but I think I'm most interested in what that boat ride's going to be.
I agree.
I'm crazy interested, even though the Banshee ride vehicle sounds really interesting, the four-person boat.
So you saw it.
I saw it. And I've seen video of it now.
Yeah.
And so
it's confirmed. It is a tiny little boat you're on.
It's just, which seems a little weird to even be a boat ride, which makes you think that maybe it's less boat and more like,
what?
Like cars connected, sort of like, is it more like an experience that you'd have on like Nemo maybe, where they're just like connected to each other?
Like an Omnimover.
Yeah, you're just constantly moving on it.
I think they're probably, yeah, I think you're right in that. I think it is probably one of those systems that loads quickly.
Something that's kind of in between. That's why there's only
a doom buggy on the water.
Yeah, yes. I think that's probably, or like Spaceship Earth or something like that.
Yeah.
It leans me towards that, which also makes me feel like it's probably a not, we've already kind of heard rumblings that it's not an incredibly long experience. So,
which that's going to be a little disappointing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like if it's super short, eh.
I mean, here's the thing. The reason I would pick the boat ride over the Banshee ride, I am definitely, you think you're right, that the Banshee ride will be a thrill ride.
And that's probably the one long-term I ride more often.
Right.
Yeah.
But I kind of have an idea. Yes, I don't know how exactly it's going to be displayed, but we know in general we're looking at a screen.
Yeah.
It's a screen-based attraction. And let's just be honest. And look, you can see it Universal. They've done it now 50 times. There's only so many ways you can use a screen, and whether that is you're moving and there's actually a screen, you're not moving and there's a screen, you're moving and you're stopping and there's a screen. There's a screen, but there's real props hidden behind it. It's still
yeah, see,
a screen.
I'm wondering if there's a screen that's a little bit translucent based on the way the light hits it, and so at times you're looking through like a scrim, like straight through it, and you're seeing a world, and then the way the light hits it, things happen in front of you
yeah.
all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think that's probably not an inaccurate guess of something that's going to happen. We don't really know. They kept it pretty tight.
Most interested. The rides are actually kind of low on my list. I'm most interested in just seeing it at night lit up.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the most interesting thing about it for me.
I would agree with you in the fact that if they are able to pull off a Harry Potter world-esque immersive experience, then that's what's going to wow me the most, like in hindsight. Like, man, I got there and the detail and the immersive nature of it, and if there's like animatronics and things in like the wild, so to speak, yeah. that you come across, I think that's going to be the most exciting part to me.
I really hope they're bringing back that true almost opening year of Animal Kingdom when there was a lot of walking, roving.
There's still a lot of walking.
No, but like animatronic, you know, like Streetosphere.
Yeah.
I hope that there's some of that in Avatar Land that would just make you.
I don't think they'll. Well, okay. I almost said something I can't say, so I'll leave it at that. But
you keep doing that to us, well, man.
I know, but there's just
and not, when the cameras go down, you don't turn to us and say, "Here's what I've been."
Hey, I do have to say, I was hinting at a nighttime Disney Hollywood Studios secondary show beyond Star Wars Fantasmic, and guess what? It was confirmed this week.
Oh, was it?
So I can't now say it? It's. Let's find out. Can you pull up the title of it officially? It is essentially a tribute to Pixar films through their symphonic music.
Oh.
So it is going to be that.
You know what?
It's pretty cool.
Me being the hater of the nighttime spectaculars, that one sounds pretty cool.
Kind of classy.
Yeah, I like that.
It's in the Beauty and the Beast theater after Beauty and the Beast is done for the day, which is normally around 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's another nighttime show. I don't know. Did it say it was multiple times?
It's inside?
No, it's outside. That theater's outside.
Theater's outside.
It's okay. It's okay.
It tells you how many times I've done the Beauty and the Beast show.
It's okay. You're not missing anything in 2017. Oof. But Terry is looking up the information about that. But back to Avatar. See, I'm the opposite. I look forward to seeing the Avatar, but I want to do the rides. And the reason I want to do the rides, I'm a ride guy. And also, when was the last, and I'm generally trying to think about this, and it may be like last year and I'm just having a mind fart on it. When was the – Will gave me a big eyes for that one.
A mind fart.
When was the last boat ride to open at Walt Disney World? Or Universal. I'm just going to say that. The last boat ride to open.
And we don't consider Frozen Ever After.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that because it's just a brand new one.
Yeah.
Because it's the same – essentially the same – right, I mean, mechanism, just backwards kind of.
Three Caballeros, probably. I mean, that was probably the last.
God, that was like 1989. Like,
I mean, what's open since? Am I missing something?
No.
Well, I mean, if you want to include Universal, I mean, Popeye, when Universal
I guess technically
Islands
you
of Adventure open.
Holly River Rapids, but I don't really think of that as a boat ride. That's like a raft ride where you get soaking wet. Like, it's more of that kind of,
yeah,
like,
it's a not
traditional,
a boat
slow moving
narrative.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Yep. It's a small world. You know, all of those, Jaws, I would even say at that point, or those attractions. And they just don't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those rides had to shut down or had to be refurbished so much because water, I don't know if you know this, destroys everything.
Especially electronics.
Right. So a lot of them have gone against building water rides. So it's very intriguing, very nice to me to be like, oh, a new boat ride.
Which is one of the reasons why it was such a controversial move, but why Jaws was the first thing to go at Universal when they decided to do the Harry Potter world is because Jaws broke down so much.
Hey, Riker has a feedback. What are you saying, buddy? He's playing video games and listening.
Is that ever going to happen to a small world?
Is what ever going to happen?
It's going to be wrecked like that.
No, but what they have to do is not wreck like that. What they do, because all those electronics are under the water, they go in and every so often they take out all the water and they fix it all up.
They have a Mr. Fix-It man that goes in and makes sure everything's all
scuba
good.
Scuba divers.
Scuba divers?
Yeah, scuba divers fix Pirates of the Caribbean.
Fix-It Felix.
Oh.
Is that accurate?
What do you think?
What?
Like Jurassic Park, I guess, would be one. But that kind of, yeah, it's almost
it's
a flume ride.
A splash ride. I think there's a difference in a boat ride and a splash ride.
It's kind of the hybrid of the two.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say, I mean,
because
well,
it only
Splash
has the one. Well, no, because it only has the one drop. Everything else is almost meant to feel like a slow-moving boat ride
until the very end,
a leisurely boat ride.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you could say the log flume of Rocky and Bullwinkle. That has
that's
a narrative.
That's Dudley Do-Right. But yes, I understand.
Oh, Dudley Do-Right. Right.
You said I ripped you off, Oz. But yeah, they do scuba. They have scuba divers that go in to fix things.
Oh.
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty
How
positive.
How about that?
You got caught with a flat.
How about that?
do you have information about
that? I do. And so this isn't like some – I pulled up a reliable, or at least I would hope, reliable news source.
The Orlando Sentinel.
This isn't DisneyFakeNews.com. So they're saying a live orchestra.
Yeah.
So that even
that's
like –
That's awesome.
That steps
Every
it up
night?
Even – Yes. A live
Most
orchestra
nights.
Well, yeah.
Will perform on stage a new presentation called The Music of Pixar Live, a symphony of characters at Disney's Hollywood Studios theme park. The event will be presented three times nightly beginning May 26th.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break again to tell you about our friends. And they are. Because your bag becomes your friend when you have an away travel pack. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but you heard the story that I had last week of lugging it through the airport when I had to run to make my flight. and it was a great experience. But what also I've had is it for my kid. It's super lightweight. So for my son, I got him an Away travel bag, and he can use mine. You also get a variety of colors. I have black, you can get green, you can get red, you can get a lot of different options.
Well, yeah, I wanted to say that because we've said, oh, you're like, I like the green one, I have a black one. Yeah. I'm like, I like the navy one, which are all very like men's colors, I feel like, to some degree.
Somewhat,
but they have nine colors. Like, right. It's not just those three.
Nine colors, four sizes. That's the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, and the large. All cost less than $300. And with our coupon, even less. You go to awaytravel.com/WDW. You use that promo code WDW20. You get the $20 off. It also has that, I know you guys like it, when you're in the airport. And even if you're just in your hotel or traveling, it's got the 360 motion on the wheels.
Yeah, I like that.
So you can kind of spin it everywhere. I like to do like little tricks. Uh-huh. I know people are like, oh, it's great for going down the aisle. And it's perfect going down the aisle when you're in the airplane. But I also like to just kind of show off because you always see the one
you
guy.
You can't juggle. So your like parlor trick is spinning your bag 360.
Spinning it and kind of like I don't even have to look. I just spin it and stop it. You look real cool doing it. At least I think I look cool doing it. And
I don't know about that.
I always look at those guys, those old two-wheelers. And I kind of shame them.
Yeah, remember we actually saw some old two-wheelers last time we traveled, the time that you ran through the airport with your
right
back.
Before that happened.
And we were like, you know, they've seen a car. Like, and what? Why were they like, oh, let's make a baggage like an ox cart. Like you're dragging just a farm animal pulling through the airport your luggage.
So heavy.
You can have the four wheels like an automobile.
Right.
It makes a lot more sense distributing it. There's physics involved.
Right, exactly.
Distributing the friction to four wheels instead of two.
But again, they for overpackers like me, you can fit everything you need because their interior compression system, that's just a cool way of putting it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm reading this off of a note here.
I really like the fact interior. You called yourself an overpacker because I actually was going to be like, you're kind of an overpacker and you were able to fit everything.
It also is great. It tightly buckles in bulky items to the spot. I even put like my computer because it's my carry-on. I don't take a computer bag with me anymore or a laptop bag. I carry everything in my Away travel bag.
And it feels safe in there.
And it does. It's totally secure. Comes with a lifetime warranty also. So if the bag has any issues, something breaks, you just they'll fix it or they'll replace it for life. It's also a risk-free 100-day trial. So if you don't like it, any point, return it, get a full refund. They're not going to ask you questions. They're not going to say, why didn't you like it? What's wrong with it? No questions asked. And again, you know I've had amazing personal experiences with it. And I'm going to this week. I'm packing up tonight to head to Walt Disney World. I know a lot of you do each and every year, if not multiple times, like me. And like Terry, he goes like, I don't know, every couple days.
Yeah.
He's there like every other week. So we all use our luggage.
And this one could really put it to the test.
Yes.
See
he'll see if that how many times they'll be cool with a lifetime guarantee. Uh-huh. He'll beat up some luggage. So you can tell Terry's not in this for this ad read. So right on Terry. All right, go to awaytravel.com/WDW, promo code WDW20. That's 20, and you get $20 off your order. And now, what were we talking about?
So, folks, just when you thought I was unredeemable, that I couldn't love a night
in the symphony.
Yeah. And now they've done it. I'm going to be so hardcore big fan of that.
All three shows?
Yeah, every night.
He's there drinking wine.
That's the only thing I go to. Yes, could you?
You have binoculars? Now, they did toured this.
He's out.
Uh-huh. They toured this show for the last couple of years. I actually came here to Nashville, but I missed it.
And it played at the Skrimmerhorn, right?
It did. Yeah. So I believe it's the same show from what I've read, or a similar version of it.
A shortened version.
I know that it's the same logo, which is Buzz holding the baton.
Mm-hmm. Genius.
I love this concept. I'm all for it. I can't wait.
What does Reich think about it?
Riker, I don't think he knows it. So they're starting this new show at Hollywood Studios. We're a live band, a symphony. Do you know what that is?
Like an orchestra.
Orchestra. They play violins and they play horns, but they're going to show clips of all the Disney Pixar movies like Cars and Toy Story and Bug's Life and all and Up, and they're going to play all the music from it in one of the theaters. Would you want to go see that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Does that sound intriguing?
Mm-mm.
Are you just playing your game? He just knocked the mic out of my hand. It's been
a
long day.
Dog style pant and then kapow.
Hey, Riker, where are we going next week? He doesn't want to talk on mic tonight. This is not a Riker day for podcasting. So two exciting things were announced.
I think he just said the new podcasting studio doesn't work for him. He wants the old office back.
I sometimes wish that too, but it's a different vibe.
What do you miss about it, Reich?
It's a different color. Because the other one's like orange, but this one is like gray and silver. That's not very good color.
So you mean at the old place or in the
old, at the old place?
Old place,
or
yeah.
With the old one.
The gold colors.
Yeah, he meant in there.
Just were?
No, in here.
But you meant the old office, not where we are now.
No, here.
The new... This is very confusing for people listening. So we did have two big announcements, actually. I feel like that's actually kind of two big things. Two things we've been teasing, which was Avatar Land and whatever we call this thing.
The Pixar on Ice.
Pixar in the Stars or whatever it's called.
Pixar in the Stars. The
music of Pixar Live! ! A symphony of characters.
Yeah, which was, I believe, created by our friend J. Michael Roddy. There's also a... with that, that brings up an interesting thing. Now, will you be able to hit three nighttime spectaculars at Hollywood Studios per night? Or will one of those...
No, there's no reason to. Just go to one.
But could you? Could you go see... I wonder if the timing's going to work out where you could go to the Symphony in the Stars, whatever it is, with the Pixar friends, Galactic Surprise Stars, and Fantasmic.
I would say
as a theater man, it sounds delightful.
I would say that if you had a fast pass for one of them, and you did a reserved dining for one of them.
So if you do the dessert party and you do a
Fantasmic dessert.
Fantasmic dining package.
You don't think you could just walk up?
Oh, I think you could, theoretically.
Well, it just depends on when we're also talking about it starts running May 26th.
What I do like about these is you know what they've done with both of these, and not as much with Avatar, what they did with this one is they pulled a Universal on them, which was to announce it, and boom, it's happening. And it happened actually. Also, can we talk about, they ran a preview of the new fireworks show. Did you watch it?
Yes, this is the new
song. I did not watch it. They show, because when they did a live broadcast of Wishes last week, and at the end of it, they said, surprise, here's the new show.
And interestingly, the girl that's the voice in the new song for, was it Happily Ever After?
Something like that, yeah.
And is a country singer from... who was on, I believe, Blake's team on The Voice.
Oh, cool.
So she's like, didn't win The Voice, which is kind of interesting, but they picked one of the girls from The Voice. And so it sort of has a, I like it. It's definitely a lot of people are upset over Wishes because it's been, you know, a big part of people's lives for what, 10, 15 years?
15 years.
And so, you know, if you've, were in high school when Wishes came out, you know, it's now have kids. It's been a big part of your life, and so it feels like, oh my gosh, this is going away. But it feels like what they're replacing it with is, by also everything I've seen, I talked to the Imagineer about 3 years ago. They were just in the process of what are we having the conversations of how do we replace Wishes, and so yeah, I think the new song is going to be great. I think everyone's gonna love the show. I'm excited to see what they do at Disneyland more to start happening is where they combine the castle projection and the fireworks.
Big show instead of
just a great.
I very much look forward to that. And I look forward to all these things. I think these look for once, and I'll be honest that there has been limited amount of time where I've been spending other than, you know, for Wishes occasionally spending that much nighttime in the parks with kids because we got to get them to sleep early and it's just, it's a hassle. But now I have a reason to want to go back out because I think I really want to see the new Wishes. I want to see Rivers of Light. I want to see Avatar Land at night. I want to see all this.
New Wishes?
No, whatever it is.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
They're calling it Fantasy in the Sky. No, what are they calling it?
Christmas in the Stars.
No, not Christmas in the Stars.
Oh, what was that?
That is from the Star Wars record, Christmas in the Stars, by C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, Christmas record. I remember that Christmas special.
How do you? Different. This came later, it's just as bad.
Yeah.
What do you get? A Wookiee for Christmas when he already has a comb. We got a. They say it like
that's a lyric. What do you get a Wookiee for Christmas?
That's the theme. That's the chorus.
Yeah.
What do you get a Wookiee for Christmas if he
got a?
Yeah, he's.
They go through a list of everything they have for everyone else, and it's like, we got a lightsaber for Skywalker. We got a Boba Fett for Han Solo. Y'all see that Han Solo may not be his real name.
What? Disney's ruining Star Wars.
This is the one time, which I think Bob Iger just misspoke when he read. He's like, we find out the new Han Solo film, which is Bob Iger, everything always is very like monotone.
Uh-huh.
Great things like how he acquired a certain ship, how he
met a certain Wookiee, and new surprises like how he got his name. And I think he more meant like how he made his name.
No, that would, that still, I mean, maybe it's like from his beginning,
his, like,
nickname. His birth. No, not his nickname, like how, why his parents decided to name him Han.
Okay, I thought it was Solo.
Oh, his last name? No, how he got his name, I think, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Solo had a baby, and are like, well, we could name him Luke, but that's already taken, and maybe we name him Han. Etan!
Do you say Han or Han?
I think I say Han. Han
I say Han, but it's Han.
It is Han. Han! Han!
Orlando says Han. Everyone else says Han. Like, Leia says Han.
No. Luke says Han.
Luke says Han. Han once. And then he says Han from then on. And but Lando says Han. Lando. Come on, Han. He actually calls him Han in the Lego movie, which I think was like always looked a little funny thing.
Yeah. So I think it's more of that. I don't think it's like a... Like he made up his name. It's a moniker.
So I'm trying to explain. I got, you know, about 4 days in Disney coming up this week. I got a week that I'm there, but about 4 days I'm going to be doing parks. Trying to hit up some new stuff. I'm going to try to do something at Fort Wilderness. Maybe the, I've never done the campfire and I've never done. Yes.
Speaking of Halloween, the other announcement.
Speaking of Halloween. And you interrupted what Logan was saying.
Speaking of Fort Wilderness, did you see?
Speaking of Halloween.
No.
Logan was mid-thought.
You just were texting me. And you thought, there's like an 80% chance Logan was talking about Halloween. So I'm just going to say it.
They announced a new a Halloween opportunity at Fort Wilderness.
That's true.
I wanted Logan to finish what he was saying.
I don't remember what it is now.
Yep.
Go ahead. It's the Legend of the Headless Horseman.
In Sleepy Hollow, like a whole experience.
Yeah.
Which sounds more your Halloween speed of it kind does. Of an event. You meet the Headless Horseman. You don't have to go through the park and do the costume.
I didn't get to see him. I just saw people scream when he came by last time. I will go to that.
That sounds more like your speed.
It's expensive, though.
It's like $22, I thought.
That feels like a lot. I don't know. For what is it? I don't really understand what it is. Like, when you read what it is, I think it's 30. When I read it, I was like, is there dinner included? No, I don't think so. It's just like a, I don't know. Is double your money than you can get into a Disney park? That feels a little on the pricey side. To like go to like a Not So Scary, it's like $70. Hey guys, I'm going to take a break here. And
Anything else you want to bring up today? So you mentioned the Sleepy Hollow thing. Logan thinks it's overpriced. What do you think about it?
It just seemed like a good opportunity, especially because he didn't like the not-so-scary party, and it seemed like something. You know, what I love about all of these new opportunities is regardless of how many times you've been to the park, Disney's doing a great job, I feel like, of bringing in new experiences and ways that regardless of how many times you've been,
What is the new experience, though, specifically?
I'm trying to pull up all the details. I know there's a screening of the movie Sleepy Hollow. And the Headless Horseman is going to come out. There's going to be a chance for you to do a meet and greet. And I don't remember it being but like $20, but maybe I'm...
So for $22, what do you get, though?
Like you what's... get...
Because I know his big thing with the reason he didn't like Not So Scary is that he just thought there wasn't enough for children to do.
So you get $22, and it's the screening of the movie outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Like the old school animated one?
The old school... Vintage, you know, from 1949.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Tri-Circle D Ranch. And then you get a special edition Headless Horseman pin. The premium people will get a goodie bag that's a bonus feature. They used to do like a haunted hayride that was kind of around the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but now they're kind of adding where you can go and sit and there's a screening.
Right. I kind of have to agree with Logan, though. If it's $22 to watch The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
The main thing is you've, for Disney fans who are into the Headless Horseman, you've never been able to, he just rides by one time during the,
right.
So if you want a meeting, you're basically paying for the meet and greet.
With the Headless Horseman.
With the Headless Horseman. And you're getting a pin. And, you know,
I get that. But I would think for Logan, like back to that point of, it being a replacement or an addition to the Not So Scary Halloween party.
No, it's
not anywhere near that.
It's just a fun Disney experience.
Just paying $22 to watch an old movie.
That's not very long.
Right. So, yeah, I can understand why Logan was underwhelmed by that, or why he thought it was expensive for what you get.
Right. Well, I thought it was a cool offering. I definitely... And very seldom do you go to a Disney opportunity and go, wow, that's underpriced.
Well, but I can understand also for a fan that that collects the experiences like the meet and greets, why being able to get your photo in line with Headless Horseman, why that's a potentially cool offering that you don't get every day, like you're saying. So
I'm sure they're going to do some special things around it. They always kind of decorate that. They treat that like a theme park around the holidays. So, you know, it makes it more of a destination to go out there, go to the campfire, have some words with Chip and Dale, and then go to that special experience. It sounds fun. But I think all of these things are just additions to, you know, extra experiences. You know, like you said, the symphony, knowing that there's a live symphony and the chance to sit in a theater and hear the music from movies that you love, the experiences, I feel like, are all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, there's a movie from 1949 that you can watch and see a guy with a no head riding around on a horse, or you can go see this really classy in a theater symphony.
Right.
Or, you know.
Do you think that they'll do any holiday special offerings around Pandora?
I don't know. It's sort of like Harry Potter because it's a licensed product, how much they're going to have the freedom to do.
Right.
But Disney's so big on the holidays that I'm sure they wrote that in.
Yeah, that's what I kind of feel like. I feel like they have to, in some way. They have to find a way to do that.
They are betting.
Whether or not it's like blue translucent snow or something,
yeah.
I don't know.
Man, they are betting the farm on this thing for this summer, especially. They're doing extra magic hours most of the summer for 2 hours every night in Pandora.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I'm down there for an event in June, the event I told you guys about last week. And, like, Magic Kingdom closes at 9. Normally, Magic Kingdom in the first week of June would close at, like, 11 or 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think that time might tick later. I think they're just trying to see how many people, because not everybody that's on property staying can go fit in, because it's only Pandora that's open for those extra 2 hours.
But they are clearly trying to funnel people that way.
With that and Rivers of Light.
Get that buzz going. I mean, for lack of a better usage. I mean, that's what they want. They want the buzz. They want people to be talking about it, and they want and obviously the Disney community itself has been talking about it.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like sometimes we live in a little bit of a bubble where it's like, to us, yeah, that it's commonplace to know that this is happening with Pandora. But I feel like there's a lot of people, and I'm not specifically talking about WDW Today listeners and people that are in the know, but more that the casual vacationer that is planning ahead and may not have seen a Pandora ad yet, may not have, or maybe hasn't even started booking their trip yet, but they're looking to go in the next year, that just is going to Disney and doesn't know that this is a big new thing coming. I could be wrong on that, but I still feel like there is the work a little bit is cut out for them to funnel the buzz towards that and to let the public know they're in this PR phase that's really crucial for the success of this portion of the park, which it's a new thing. It's one of the biggest undertakings they've had in a long time, and it doesn't have the buzz around it like Star Wars did.
Absolutely not.
So I feel like that's the chore that they're tasked with right now, and that we'll see how it turns out, but they've got to do things like that to make sure that the casual fan that's booking a trip that's like, oh, it ends at 9 o'clock, but it's over at Animal Kingdom. What's it? Oh, new part. You know, I don't know. I feel like that is a big portion of what they're doing right now.
Yeah, because they have a season where if people don't listen to a show like this, where there's a large group of people that aren't going to be able to ask their friends if they've done it because no one will have yet.
Absolutely.
So they're betting the farm on everyone's going to go, love it, and tell everyone they know. Interestingly, and all of this came out last week, kind of the one downer thing that Disney had, kind of news that spit out, that Rivers of Light's already on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
That they're already looking at a possible replacement that they've kind of realized. Because everyone who has gone to a dinner package or... at least I know the dinner packages and some fast passes, but everyone that's gone to a dinner package has gotten a survey and they're asking questions like, did you miss the characters?
See, I feel like it was such a PR nightmare that they didn't want the loss of of we failed and didn't put it out. But in the back of their minds, we're like, let's just get it out there, do it for a little while, and then replace it with something better. Just because it was just a disaster for, I mean, years.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't we put it out, it failed, and it was a six-month planning and execution phase. Like, this was a long, supposed to be a big win for Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of directions they could go if I was them. The Disney Nature movies are very successful with those, like, I think they're doing a panda movie right now.
Right, yeah. They have the, why can't I think of it? One of them's a monkey, right?
Monkeys, and yeah, I mean, they... What I'm kind of surprised they haven't done is there's so many of the Disney movies that are in the animal universe.
Yeah.
That if they could just basically turn it into a World of Color animal style, bring out some floats that still have it. But if there was a Lion King float that came out and did all the Lion King, you saw the couple of Lion King moments and then Baloo came out and danced on the water Baloo style. I just feel like...
Your armchair imagineering has me intrigued. Like, I'm like, yeah, I actually would enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, just because...
I feel like, and here's kind of what your point is, that Animal Kingdom, they keep trying to do too much outside the box of nature without Disney.
Right.
You know? And conservation without Disney.
And I get it.
But I feel like it's actually much more effective to tie that to Disney and be like, look, we had a movie about lions. Here's what the issue with the poaching and things with lions are in reality, why not? And this is a bold statement, folks. This is not actually, why not have a Rescuers Down Under portion and have the whole poaching story, because that was the whole big thing with the Golden Eagle and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That was the storyline that fits right into Animal Kingdom. I know it's not, the right continents there, but why not add that and do something where tie in some of the old school Disney, or just like you're saying, the animal world of Disney into reality and kind of blur those lines a little bit. Kind of like that awful Circle of Life movie at Epcot.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do much, that well.
Much like this, I was going to say, much like the Circle of Life movie without Simba telling you that we're all killing him.
But do it well at Animal Kingdom, and that's what the park should be.
And then you have these, Lion King songs. You've got, Elton John songs. You have, was it Phil Collins that did the Tarzan movie?
Right.
You have great music and songs that people know. I think the score is gorgeous to that.
Yeah.
But your four-year-old isn't going to walk out of Rivers of Light and go, man, did John Williams do that one?
Exactly,
They're going to go, oh, the Baloo song, love that song.
Right. And then it also, if you're trying to have a message along with it, may go longer to have an impact. Now, I mean, there's some ethical implications of manipulating children with beloved songs to then preach to them. But, I mean, it's 2017, folks.
Which is basically the entire movie of Zootopia. So,
yeah, fair enough.
So they clearly have no issues with that plan. So, yeah, I think, I think it probably is on the clock. It was beautiful. I'll go again when I'm back to take some friends, but you guys should go see it once. But it's not.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, I hope I get
to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a kind of a tumultuous path of work and life like ahead of me. So I'm hoping in the next few months I'm able to get down four Rivers of Life.
Yeah. Hopefully we could all actually go down and do the Avatar and then I'll go.
Yeah, that would be fantastic to be able to knock all that out at the same time, too.
And eat Tiffin's before it gets crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Leslie and I, on a regular basis, are just like, why are we not eating a Tiffin's right now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's kind of the feeling Logan and I had when we were sitting there, and we're like, oh, this is the gateway to it. So it's things are about to get crazy right here, but because I honestly think that's part of the problem is most people don't know that if you're walking that direction, you turn left, there's a restaurant.
Yeah, there's when you go to Morocco, they have that same kind of person that's like out in the stand.
Yes.
Like, come in here, please.
And it's like, why is that person have a little pulpit by themselves?
Street preaching at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Completely different direction.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this week. I think we got some interesting, lively conversation. That was pretty good. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, Riker chimed in a little bit.
He did. Logan left with him, and Logan actually had an appointment he had to go to get the old
teeth cleaned.
Teeth cleaned.
Or whitened, which he did.
Said whitened. He said whitened. He was mistaken. It's a cleaning. So I guess I'll do the honors this week. That's going to do it for this week on WDW Today, folks. Remember our sponsor, Away Travel. They've got some great bags. Logan had that wonderful story of running through the airport with, and we are proud to have them on for another week. And folks, go now to patreon.com/WDW Today if you want to join our Patreon group. We've got excellent content that we're bringing at you every week. You get an extra show, and you can watch it live through an exclusive Facebook group. It's a lot of fun. We horse around a little bit looser than the regular show. So if you think that there's too much structure in your life and you want WDW off the rails, then go check that out, patreon.com/WDW Today. There's also a producers club where you help us pick our topics. You're actually in a producers meeting once a month to plan out the four shows. So check that out. And then also want to remind you of one more special thing. It's podcruise.com. It's really important if you're interested in this to go ahead and book your cabin. You just put $50 down and it reserves your space on the cruise. That's refundable, but you know you're going on the cruise. So go ahead and get it today. So, you know, we've got quite a few podcasts that are going to be represented. So if you want to make sure you get in with your buddies that are WDW Today fans, go ahead and book now. Also, thank you to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
Logan Seculo is already gone, and we'll see you on the next show.
I'm from the sweet town of Derry, Australia bound. If we did it all down, the Mars of our family.